Welcome to Cheers to This, the podcast where we have meaningful conversations over a good drink. I'm your host, Jay Hutchins, and I'm here with my guest, Kim, today, who's an expert in community and resilience. And we invite you all to have a drink with us and join in on the conversation. Welcome, Kim. It's good to see you.
Good to see you. And thank you for having me, Jay. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm so happy to have this conversation. And you know what? Cheers to this. The first question I've got to ask you is, what's in your cup?
This is liquid IV today.
Hey, I respect the liquid IV. Gotta keep that hydration up for sure. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to that liquid IV, what flavor is it?
This is the pina colada mixed with the pink cotton candy.
Okay, we have a mixologist over here, for sure. Well, I'm just rocking a nice sangria with a little bit of Gray's Peak grapefruit chamomile vodka in it, because we're just spicing it up just a little bit.
I'm jealous.
Don't be jealous. Well, let's raise a glass. Do you have anything you would like to cheers to today?
Life, health, and strength.
Here's to life, health, and strength. Cheers. Awesome. So let's start our conversation. So I know that you've been in the U.S. military and you've been in online spaces helping people navigate the U.S. healthcare system. Have you learned anything about community from either of those experiences?
Well, yeah, being in the military, community turns into family because we look out for one another. So you may have someone that's not able to go home for Thanksgiving or for Christmas. My house was the house that everybody came to eat to. Like fish fries, fights. Every other Sunday, my friends and I would rotate a house once a month on a Sunday. So till this day, we are family because we have to take care of one another being away from family. So, yeah, I love that about the military. As far as communities, more so, TikTok is like the biggest community I've ever been in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Facebook wasn't hitting. That was for the elderly. MySpace was good back in the day, but it wasn't community.
Way back.
Mm-hmm. So TikTok is like my first social media family. And of course, like a family, you have disagreements, you have fallout, you have that cousin that don't like you and don't like them back. But at the end of the day, we all just want to see each other succeed. So I do love that about the TikTok community.
So what I'm hearing from you is that for you, community is a lot about looking out for each other, wanting each other to succeed, and having each other's back. You know, for a lot of people, they think that community is just sharing an experience or like some kind of trait with somebody else. Do you believe that that's all there is to it? Or do you believe that it has to be more?
To me, it's more because you can share a DNA with a serial killer. You see what I'm saying?
Word.
And it doesn't make you family.
Mm-hmm.
Or the way that you treat someone, have their back. Like, I tell people I'm not the perfect friend, but I am, like, the loyal friend. I will go hard for you. Like, you talk about Jay, talking about me. And that's just, and that's just me. I take that very serious. Like I said, it's just that's what a community is about. I'm a 70s baby, so our community means I grew up where if I acted out, my neighbor would whoop me and then my mama would whoop me when I got home. But that's looking out for me to make sure that I'm always doing the right thing. And I just, that's a sense of community to me.
Yeah, I am very familiar with that space. You know, mm-hmm. I grew up in rural Mississippi around nothing but family, like down the entire road. And basically, if you mess up, you have to go down the entire road and make amends, basically.
Yes.
Because, you know, that is your community. They have your back. They have your best interests at heart. I don't know that a lot of people are used to that kind of community. A lot of people, you know, are expecting perfection when they go into a community versus looking out for each other. Like you said it very well, I think. You said, I may not be the perfect friend. And, you know, that's something that a lot of people expect is perfection out of a community. Is that something that should be the expectation? Or is it just people doing their best?
Just people doing their best, because nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm not a perfect mom. Mm-hmm. I'm not a husband. Not a perfect wife. I'm not a perfect daughter, but however, giving my best to show up to be the best mom and a supportive mom, the best wife, those things matter. I nobody's perfect. I don't want to be perfect. I don't want to be held to a standard of being perfect because I make mistakes. I make a lot of mistakes. So yeah, don't judge me.
No judgment here, but I got to tell you about mistakes. That's where the spice is, right?
Right.
Like, perfection is a little bit boring. At least to me it is. You know, everybody is always striving to be perfect, but it's always that question of like, perfect for who? Like, who is this perfection for? Like, is this some performance or is it for yourself? Like, who is this for? Because I know I don't demand perfection of everyone because I know that I'm dealing with humans, right? Like once you're dealing with other people, having that expectation, it seems pretty wild to me.
It is. So the biggest thing people say about me, I'm rude. Okay. I'm not rude. I'm direct. I was a drill sergeant for 2 years. So if I went up to my soldiers, can you please low crawl during night flight fire? I can't do that. Can you please make sure that you're wearing your Kevlar when we're going out on this exercise? That doesn't work. Mm-mm. But if I'm telling you, I need you to get down when you hear that fire, that's how I am direct. I talk to my kids like that. In a vulnerable moment, my kids, my oldest, I had to be strong for her, for her journey, for her coming out. But I didn't coddle her. Because the world is not going to coddle my baby. A lot of people just mistake with me being direct. I just say what I mean and mean what I say. I do have to work on softening it a little bit, but that's just me. I'm not for everybody, and I get it. I'm not perfect, but that's one trait that I love about myself. You know where you stand with me. That's just it. You know where you stand with me. And it's just people just have to quit. Show up and be yourself. If you're not perfect, look, you're not perfect. If you're having a bad day, it's okay to say you're having a bad day. If people get on your nerve, it's okay to say if people get on your nerve.
You speak of all this passion about, you know, what you're able to bring to the table. And then you take this moment and you said, you know what, I need to soften up a bit. What makes you think you need to soften up?
To a point, some people are not used to directness. And it could make them feel some type of way. And I never want to on purposely make someone feel some type of way.
Yeah.
Meaning I don't go out of my way to hurt someone. That is a defense mechanism for me. I feel like, and this, I'm so vulnerable. If I feel like you're coming for me, I'm automatically going to go in defense mode and I'm going to find something about you and rip you apart. I'm learning. Right. Because of the fact that I literally drink, mind my business, watch Netflix, and that's it. And working on this skin. I'm learning some people didn't grow up the way that I grow up. Some people don't. We have different backgrounds. Some people grew off of survival and not love. Mm-hmm. I grew off of love. I grew up where if Jay is hungry and if I could help Jay, you help Jay. Mm-hmm. If someone is needing money for gas, and if I have it, help your brother and sisters out. That's how I grew up. But a lot of people didn't grow up like that. Some people think that you have an agenda. You always have a hidden agenda, and that's survival mode for me. And I not like that. But I do want to soften a little bit because some people are timid, and that's their personality. And I know that I have to match, at least meet them halfway with their personality. So I'm learning that.
I love that you're so receptive to growing, right? And is that an important part about actually being in community? Because I know for a lot of people, they say, this is who I am. I'm not changing. I'm not shifting. But can you be in community if you're that way? Or do you have to grow and change and meet people where they are if you're going to actively try to be in community with them?
I believe you have to change. Change means growth. Growth means elevation. You don't want to be stuck where you're at. If you want to be stuck, I can't be around you. I look every day for ways to improve on Kim to be a better person and a better human being. Right. And not more so for people, but more so for me. Because at the end of the day, I have to look at myself in the mirror and hold myself accountable for the actions and the things, my actions and the things that I say.
It sounds like you have this uncanny ability to navigate difficult spaces where you like shift your personality as needed, or is that a misread of the situation?
No, it's a military thing. Mm-hmm. You got to adapt to a situation. I have to adapt. So being deployed twice, things change daily. Missions change daily. So am I going to be the same person for each mission, or I have to adapt it to different missions? And that's my goal. The military, I thank God, have changed me a lot, but I'm able to adapt, worked under pressure. That is just, I've just learned to adapt that way. And even being a mom, three kids, three different personalities.
Okay, I hear that. It sounds like you have like this just strong sense of who you are. And I got to say that I honor and I respect that so much. And you know what value you're bringing to every situation, it sounds like. But a lot of people might question their value. So, you know, how important is it really to actually know your value before walking into a space?
If you don't know who you are, people's opinions of you will break you. People's opinions of you, they will try to dictate how you should feel about yourself because they're projecting the insecurities about themselves. I just knew my grandmother and mother poured love into me no matter what. And I was heavy as a kid. But my grandmother always told me, you never let anybody tell you who you are. Her favorite saying is, nobody have a heaven or hell to put you in, so don't even worry about it. And that's what I live by. Nobody has a heaven or hell to put me in. Nobody's opinions doesn't pay their bills or doesn't pay my bills. So you have to be rooted in who you are. And some people even find it offensive if you say, I know I'm the they get offended with that. But yes, they get offended by your confidence because they call it arrogant. And I'm trying to figure out, what does me feel about myself have to do with you? Because I would think I'm the ish all day. To my husband, I'm the ish. To my kids, I'm the ish. Hey, to my friends, to myself, I am the ish. So how I feel about myself is not a reflection of you. You have to be strong because people, opinions, or the way that people think you should act or how you should act could break you. And I don't want to be a broken person for anyone.
That is a word. I don't want to be a broken person for anyone. And you know, a lot of people navigate this world allowing themselves to be defined by other people's perception of them. And do you understand why they do that? Or is that beyond you because, you know, you're just walking in your confidence?
Some people want validation by other people. Some people want to be accepted by other people. When I say this with the utmost respect. I don't look for validation in others. I don't look for people to validate me. I don't look for people acceptance of me because I came in this world by myself. I'm going to leave by myself. I have one life to live. And my life is not going to be for people's opinions or validations because I like to drink. I just can't drink no more like I used to, but I like to drink, okay? I used to be the one drinking 9 o'clock in the morning. And my cousins, you drinking already? Yes, I am. It's my life. I am the type of person. I am that type of friend. We go out. I will dance the whole night away by myself on the dance floor. And oh my gosh, you're out there dancing by yourself. I don't care. I'm living my life. And you have to live your life and live your truth.
That's actually surprising to hear you say, not to live your truth, but that, you know, you don't need other people's validation, that you don't need their approval. Because a lot of people will argue with you. They'll be like, oh no, you have to be validated by others. You have to be approved and accepted to be a part of a community. Some people define it that way. Why are they so wrong?
I don't know. I don't know. For those that's going to love you, they're going to love you, like you, for you, unconditionally you, unapologetically you. But some people, I always tell my kids, I love them unconditional. My love doesn't come with conditions. And I look for that with people because I'm not perfect. I don't judge anybody. That is not for me to judge. But some people have conditions. Don't know. It's hard. People get mad when I say this. I just don't care. Because I have the pandemic took away family members. I've lost 3 friends to mental health. One was postpartum depression. Another one was just mental health. What seemed happy on the outside, she was not going through on the inside. And another friend unalived herself and her child because she felt like she didn't have any help.
No.
My friends taught me lessons of my mental health means so much to me. I'm not going to let anybody take that away from my peace that I have, my validation, how I feel about myself. Nobody will ever take that away from me because I look and on my pages, I post them a lot. Because I went through, what if they call? What if this? What if that? But they taught me I have my life to live and I deserve to be happy. And that's what I'm going to do. It's just, that's the life lessons they taught me that hopefully they know. Yeah.
That's a mouthful there, that life lesson. I think there are some people that may never learn that lesson. Like if people don't learn that lesson, that peace above all else, and you know, strive to bring peace to others as long as you keep peace within yourself. If other people don't know how to do that, how the hell can you be in community with them? Like, it seems like it's almost impossible.
It is. Sometimes you see people that are just not happy. You have some people that's just going to complain all the time. I think a lot of people for community and social media based community. And I only speak on that because like my community off of TikTok is we're solid, like we're soft. I see just a lot of people for, like I said, the validation and the likes. But when you get off of TikTok, who are you showing up daily for? I tell people I have to show up for myself because sometimes I have to take a break. If I don't feel like doing it, I'm not going to do it. But who are you really? And that's a question everyone should ask themselves.
Now, you just mentioned taking a break.
Mm-hmm.
So that has to bring up a question for me. You know, what's been your toughest moment while trying to be in community with others? Something that actually caused you to take a break?
When the community tried to report my license that I worked hard for, that I paid $48,000. Well, the Army paid $48,000 for me to get my associate's degree in. I had to take a step back. I didn't even want to help nobody no more because you're messing with my livelihood over something that's TikTok related. That's when I knew people can be petty. A lot of people don't like that answer because they expect me to be down. I'm not going to be down for people on the internet. But that was it because I love being a medical assistant. I love helping people. I love my job. I love my patients. But when you cross the line to try to hurt somebody over a social media platform to try to report them, that's just too much for me. And I had to take a step back. I think I took a break for like 3 months before even coming back into the community. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to be clear. So let me get this straight for me and myself and for the listeners. So you were in a space trying to help people and then someone tried to report you to some governing body to have your medical licensure revoked.
Mm-hmm.
How did you navigate that mentally? And how did you come back into a space where you knew that that was a possibility where they would come for you like that?
I didn't know. Someone said that I reported myself as a nurse. I've never said I was a nurse. I always said I'm a medical assistant. Not only did they report to the national, which is the AAMA, they reported me to the nursing board here. What made me come back to the community was I did a live and I was upset. And I think I had over 150 people send this lady an email.
Mm.
150 people. Like, what is the email? That lady was like, look, we're not even going to investigate anymore. We're just going to drop everything. That's when I was like, for the hater, each hater that you have someone that really love you. And that's when I was like, I can come back now and show up and help people get access to medications, learn how to navigate the system, because that my platform is understanding the healthcare system, whether it's GLP-1 or not, so you can better your health. And that's when I was like, oh my gosh, I have people that love me on the internet. on the internet.
Because you knew you had people that loved you. Just,
right.
Just on the internet.
On the internet. Let me just refer on the internet. And that and that's a new space. Like, that is, may not like people, but I don't go out of, I will report somebody. No, that's crazy.
You have to be doing something that's actually criminal or actually across the line for me to have to even consider doing something like that. That seems wildly inappropriate. So there's this word that's coming to mind for me right now, and I don't want to say it out loud until I understand what your thoughts are on it. Okay. So for you, what does it mean to be resilient?
Resilience to me is overcoming anything that's made to break you.
And if I said to you, it sounds like you are awfully, awfully resilient and you're pushed back against whatever's thrown your way and you adapt and you try to become not just a different version, but a better version on the other side of it. What would you say to that?
I will accept that because that's what I want to do. Uh-huh. I'm always looking for ways to improve my attitude, and it has came a long way. I'm looking for ways to improve my tone, because I know, and the reason why I say my tone is because I, three kids, right? Three different personalities. My oldest can take what my middle can't. Okay. BJ, just don't pay me no attention because he's the Betty B at all. But that was a lesson. My daughter was like, mommy. And that's what really made me start looking into how I approach people. She said, mommy, you can yell at me and I can take it, but you can yell at Todd, she's going to cry. Mm-hmm. So she was, and I had to, even disciplining them, I disciplined them primarily sort of kind of different, but my approach with people, and that's when I learned everybody is not a. So I've learned to tailor according to people. But like I said, I'm going to come to your level where we can come to a mutual understanding, but I don't want people to get it twisted. I'm not here to fully change who I am to be a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, changing who you are to be a people pleaser, that doesn't sound like any way I would describe you personally at this point. So I feel like that would be offensive to you if somebody described you that way. I feel like you'd be like, who are you talking about? If somebody tried to describe you that way.
Yeah. Once again, I'm just not a people pleaser. I'm not for everybody. Mm-hmm. My relatives, I'm not for all of my relatives. Okay. I'm not. But at the end of the day, do I know I love my cousins, especially the one that talk bad about me using my gerund on it now. I just have to throw that in there. But yes, we're not for each other, but I'm supportive. Mm-hmm. I'm supportive. But once again, you have to ask your question, who are you? Who are you living your life for? In community, real outside of social media, real community, I'm very active. We feed the homeless. I'm a cosmetologist. So I do people's hair and makeup for free, especially battered women and children here for free. A lot of people don't know that. Mm-hmm. I pay for people medication out of my pocket. We do adopted highway. I'm very active in community and giving back because it's important. But that's who I am. I just feel like I'm a nurturer, but I'm a giver. I don't know how to receive, but I'm a giver. Mm-hmm. And you just have to know who you are. Yeah, I'm not going to let nobody break me.
So there are some words that we've been using to describe you, and I want to put them in a different context. Mm-hmm. And just to hear your thoughts about it. So we've used the words nurturer, giver, resilient. Mm-hmm. As a Black woman, there are actually expectations that you are more so of those things than other people are. Do mm-hmm. the weight of those expectations ever weigh down on you? Do you even consider those expectations? Or is it, this is who I am? If they line up with those expectations, great. If they don't, great. Like, how do you approach those expectations? Because as a Black woman, people expect that of you so much of the time.
They expect a lot from Black women. Ooh, Jay, you asked a tough one. And I'm not speaking for all Black women, just for me. Black women already, I feel, are the most disrespected beings on this earth. Mm-hmm. single moms, whether we're married, we're expected to carry the load of everybody. Like you say, the nurturer, the wife, being resilient. I had to go to therapy because I had to learn to say, it's okay for me not to be okay. Mm-hmm. I grew up where don't cry, it makes you look weak. Don't complain, it makes you look weak. So yeah, it's a lot. A lot of people honestly don't see me as a nurturer. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they call me ghetto or aggressive, not knowing that is a racial slur now because I'm not aggressive. Mm-hmm. I'm just direct and passionate about helping people understand there's help out there. But of course, and those adjectives come with other cultures because they feel that Black women, we have the luxury of being soft, but sometimes we don't. Mm. Especially when the world does not portray us as soft. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I love showing. I don't show my nurturing side to everybody because no, everybody does not deserve to see that side of me. I feel like that's something I keep for myself. Do I show up hard a lot of times? Absolutely. Because I have a heart. I do have feelings, whether people believe it or not. But it's hard for me to be vulnerable with people because they will take my vulnerability and make fun of it. So I want to be softer, but everybody does not deserve that intimate side of me.
Yeah. If you allowed yourself to be as soft as you wanted to be in your dream scenario, what would happen?
Everybody would just feel the true love that I have. And I'm just talking about for social media, because like I said, my house is the house everybody come to, just to let you know. They will feel the love that I have, and they will see the softer Kim, the smiling Kim, the joking Kim, the Kim that, if you come to my house, that plate better not be empty, Kim. If you need clothes on your back, Kim can, I am that person. They will get to see that Kim that will give 150% for you. But once again, everybody does not deserve that version of Kim. You know, just being vulnerable. I know the things that are being said about me. But I never once put it, if we're friends, mm-hmm. and this is where the vulnerability comes in at. So the little stuff that's been happening, people was using my vulnerability against me, but I never once came back and displayed the vulnerability that people have said to me in private. Mm. That's just the person that I am. Mm-hmm. I would never do people how they do me. So that's part of being vulnerable to me. That's just me being vulnerable. I would never do anybody the way that people have done me. People I don't even talk to this day, all their personal secrets stay with me. Mm. Because I valued our friendship. But for me, now I'm looking at you sideways because everything that we've talked about in confidence, you've aired on the internet for clicks and likes. So that lets me know the type of person and character, the type of person and the character that you are. But I have never, ever, ever came on the internet and told anybody's personal business. And you can go through, well, both of my pages, both of my pages and see that. And that just goes back to being vulnerable. That goes back to me being that loyal friend. So, yeah. Let me take a drink because you're going to make me cry.
Not trying to make you cry, but I do have one more question about vulnerability, if I may.
Yes.
So with vulnerability and softness, it feels like that's the thing that requires permission. Uh-huh. Is that something that you have to give yourself permission for? Or does the space you enter into have to give you permission to be your full vulnerable self?
The space that I enter have to give, allow me to be that person. Because I'm going to be vulnerable behind closed doors, outside of here with my mama, my husband. I'm vulnerable all the time. With my kids, I'm vulnerable all the time. With certain friends, I'm vulnerable all the time. But if I enter into a space with strangers that I don't know, my guard is going to be up. But if they allow me to really be vulnerable, I have no problem without judgment. But it's like now it's just people. I just don't understand why people use your weakness against you. Mm. I just think that is a weak move for somebody. I think that's somebody who's insecure to do that. And then when you do that, if the person is not strong, you could break that person, especially mentally. And a lot of people don't get that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do not get that at all. Sometimes your actions could push people a little bit too far and you could break them. But some people just don't care.
So those are two different things, right? You said they don't get it and they don't care. Which one is it? Because I think in my head, I think they get it, but I don't think they care. And give me a second. This is something I'm working on with my therapist. It's the people that don't care, trying to understand that mindset.
Yes.
Another human, right? Like, how do you engage with another human and not care what happens to them? How do you not care about their well-being? Because I'm not built that way. And so I've been doing a lot of work with my therapist trying to understand, like, why are people that way? I'm still working on it. Don't have an answer for you. But yeah, I think it's a they don't care part. But you're saying it could be they don't get it. You think you're giving them that space to say maybe they just don't understand that effect that they're having?
Yeah, because some people it takes them longer to get stuff, you know.
Yeah.
No, and I'm going to be honest. But those that don't care, that is not my demon to fix, because you're missing out on a freaking awesome person. You're missing out. And it's like, I'm in this stage of my life, I'm cleaning up my... This last incident have taught me, be careful. The lesson for me that God has shown me, be careful who you let in your space. And guess I am cleaning up.
Okay.
That's why I changed my number. Okay? Those that got it, got it. But I'm just in that circle because I'm 51 years old. I watched my back twice, 18 months in Iraq and another 12 months in Iraq. I should not have to watch my back in my daily life. I did that. I just cleaning up because people have malicious intent. But like I said, I think I'm not a therapist, but those are people that grew off survival and not love.
Hmm.
And it's a different. And it shows up in people who grew up in survival and not love. And survival is going to cause you... Survival, you're going to do anything that... You're going to do anything to make sure that you come out on top or you are successful. And you don't care how you get there by any means necessary. That's survival. Growing up in love... See, I'm a love Jay. He gonna love me, and we gonna work this thing out together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm wrong, Jay can be like, you know what, Kim? I didn't like how you said that.
Real friend.
A real friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how, and there's no conditions on our friendship. It's not the condition where, well, Jay, you got to do this for me, I do that for you. No, I've met some awesome people. You. And I said that I love your spirit. And a few others that we have mutuals with. Like, they show up for me and they let me know when I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Keep me in check. Keep me in check, besides my husband. Keep me in check. But it's just some people grew up on survival and some people grew up in love. You have some people, when you're genuinely nice, they really think that you have an alternate motive when mm-hmm. I really just was like, hey, how you doing? You know, and that when I get to thinking, like, why would you think, like, I want something from you? That's the crazy part. There is nothing that I want from anybody. My house, I got it. A husband, I got it. For my stepkid. For beautiful kid. A dog, okay? A lovely job. Good friends. I travel. I've been traveling in the military. I could retire right now from my job if I want to. I have two businesses. So there is nothing that anybody have that I want except for you being a genuine friend to me and vice versa. That is it. And without conditions.
That doesn't sound like a lot to ask for.
It's a lot for a lot of people. It's a lot. It's a lot.
So I know we've talked a bit about resilience and we've talked about the struggles of community sometimes, and we've talked about the importance of community.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell me and the listeners here, is there joy in community?
It can be. It can be. Because your community is when you have people, similar interests that come together to support.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people I look forward to. Anybody that motivates me to be a better person, yes, it's out there. It's out there. You shouldn't have to be in competition with one another to be in a community, to exist in a community. It should be we all are in here together. Because it's already hard. Outside, life is life. I don't know if nobody knows life is life.
Oh, that is a word. Life is life. And don't stop life. Did you realize that?
No, I knew life was life when I went to the store and bacon was $8. Like, what?
That might be a half a live pig on that.
Listen, I had bacon this morning and I ate them two strips like caviar. Listen, what is life? Okay, so why make community hard when we all are human beings, have hopefully the same feelings and just want to see everybody win? We want to love on each other, because sometimes community is better than your family.
Mm-hmm.
You get support from your community than you do your own family. So, yeah, community means everything to me. No matter what community I'm in, it means everything to me. The drinking community, the eating community, the Monjero community, the makeup community, the clothes community, the dog community, they all matter to me.
I absolutely love that. Kim, I appreciate the time that you've given me today to just chat it up and to really go into details about community and resilience and joy. And so just thank you so much for everything. But before we go, we have got to do another cheers, and I'll lead it this time.
Yes.
I'm going to give a cheers to giving ourselves permission to be the version of ourselves that we want to be, the true version, vulnerable, soft, and all the things. Cheers to that.
I love that.
So thank you so much for being here today. Really, really appreciate it. And just thank you to all of our listeners for listening in and having a great drink and a great conversation. And this has been Cheers to This.